Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Devil's Advocate Radio Show. Got a little tickle. Hope it doesn't bother me for long. Perhaps I'll cough it out. I didn't even sneak out back with, you know, the boys like they do during the commercial breaks.
I can't.
The whole time doing my job.
Want to, can't.
Preparing for another hour of radio greatness with you, our fair audience. But it can't be great without you, our fair audience at 844-967-2789. Fancy Brian. A lot of U.S. corporations walking away from Russia, at least in the now sense. My understanding is McDonald's Corporation. You know, they're pulling the Big Macs. Well, there's one corporation that's taking it differently. They're not exiting Russia because apparently the Russians can appreciate a good pizza or a pizza from Papa John's.
Oh, great.
Yeah, Papa John's, they're not leaving Russia. They're staying. Well, here's the reason why. Fancy Brian, you may not know this. Papa John's, in no small part, owned by Russians. It's going to make
that's fun.
Boycott a little bit awkward. Let me read briefly from the Hill. What was your thought?
I was just wondering how
it's
that happened, but you have
Papa
a story.
Papa John's makes great pizza. I'm pretty sure that's not the explanation.
Look, they hooked me in college, and look, I have an inexplicable, like...
Papa John's?
Yeah, they hooked me in. It was perfect. It was affordable in college.
I could see Little Caesars, the pizza concept. I could see why you would like the two pizzas.
I could get into that, but Papa John's actually was flourishing when I was in college, and it was perfect for everything I needed, and so I have a nostalgic thing with them, and sure, I'll tolerate some Papa John's every now and then when I need to go and get some, you know, pizza and stuff, but now I'm definitely going to rethink this. Hooray, go Russian Papa John's.
Remember at the old shop, not the world headquarters here on University Avenue, where apparently an ambulance or a fire truck drives by every couple of seconds. But remember, Slammer used to bring me crazy bread.
Yeah.
Slammer, I miss the crazy bread. I'm just going to put it out there. If you're listening, you know, I could use some over here at the world headquarters, University Ave. You'll find us. Only guys make it super cool radio. But let's talk about Papa John's. Less interested. If you're listening, Slammer, leave me off the Papa John's list. Don't need any of that. About 190 Papa John's stores are still open in Russia, despite the international pizza chain's announcement that it was suspending its corporate operations in the country. Corporate shutdown, but the franchisees, oh no. Apparently, it's over the Russian invasion of Ukraine, if you weren't clear on that. The Papa John's restaurants are primarily owned by Russians through a franchise agreement with the company controlled by Colorado native Christopher Wynn, who told the Times that Russians are clear-headed and understand the dark gravity of the situation they're in, and that at the end of the day, they appreciate a good pizza.
You know, nothing says dark gravity of a situation like Papa John's pizza.
I'm just having a hard time between making the association with good pizza and Papa John's. I'm sorry. It's just a mental thing I'm going through at the moment. The best thing I can do, here's the quote. As an individual, I show compassion for the people, my employees, franchisees, and customers, without judging them because of the politicians in power. No, you can't judge those. Don't judge them because of the politicians. Judge them because of their affinity for Papa John's. That's what I'm judging them for. Last week, Papa John's announced the suspension of its corporate operations in Russia, joining other high-profile international companies such as Starbucks and McDonald's. The international pizza chain. We're still talking about Papa John's, right? The internet, maybe it's the guy in the commercials. I remember Papa John, he was on like the Super Bowl commercials and stuff. I mean, he kind of wrecked it.
Well, are you,
that,
so,
his
are
whole
you,
racist thing? I mean,
well, yeah, that he definitely had that, but did you have,
but I didn't like the Papa John's before, okay, I knew that the owner was a racist.
Well, that's separate for those are separate issues. If you don't like the taste of it, that's one thing, but if you like the taste of it, then there's a politics thing issue. You know, if politics is one thing, taste is another. I'm just saying,
hey man, there's pizza and there's politics, but this feels like worlds colliding. I'm just saying. Papa John's told the Times, New York Times, in a statement that its decision to suspend operations in Russia was supported by the vast majority of our team members, franchises, and customer around the world. But though the franchise stores, common among large companies operating a high number of locations, may receive support from the parent companies, they're primarily run by franchise owners who have a greater financial interest in keeping individual stores open. So apparently, you can still get the Papa John's all across Russia. Give me the borscht pizza.
I don't even know that that's on the I don't think that's on the corporate list of things to put on there. That's just and practically speaking, it's a soup, so it's be hard, it'd be more of a sauce.
Well, couldn't you replace the customary marinara with a borscht-based sauce?
Yeah,
some
but
of a white sauce, Alfredo style.
It's more of a. It's
I've never. I
pink.
Can't.
It's beets. It's made of beets.
Oh, so it's a red sauce.
Oh, it'd have a nice sugary to it, but it's just, you know, well made borscht is pretty good, but it,
so you
it,
can't
it,
beat borscht.
Like it'd be like putting like your I don't like a beef soup on there like a it doesn't have like a consistency like a cream sauce does.
Mm. I never knew what borscht was. You know, just a word. And now I know. And, you know, still not hungry. Still not curious.
Well, the bush doesn't really make it. It's yeah.
So anyways, Papa John's still doing business in Russia. Not because they want to. They feel like they owe the people pizza. At least the franchisees. So they're staying open. Staying open. Let's talk about more important, you know, headlines with more gravity, perhaps. Do you know the Proud Boys guy, Enrique Tarrio? Not the former dance instructor guy, but apparently the Proud Boys leader. Prosecutors unveil overwhelming evidence in January 6th conspiracy against the Proud Boys leader, Enrique Tarrio.
Boy, it seems more and more like this was planned, like really well planned.
Yes, let me read briefly. The government sharpened its case. They sharpened it. Sharpened its case against Proud Boys leader Enrique Tarrio, arguing in a memo in support of pretrial detention, that means no bail for you, on Monday that he imposed a command and control structure on a newly created National Rally Planning Chapter set up to carry out the attack. So there was extensive planning and vetting going on. It's more than you can say about the Trump administration. Tarrio, who was the national chairman of the Proud Boys at the time of the January 6th assault of the U.S. Capitol, went before a federal judge in Miami for a detention and removal hearing on Tuesday morning. Do you see when this guy got arrested? This Proud Boys leader, Ebone saw it. Guy was brought out of the house just like an old Cops episode, wearing his skivvies.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You know, and wow. The guy was...
See, they put me in overalls.
Now, this guy looks tough, you know, when you see him in the photos. He's got the dark shades and the 5 o'clock shadow. But I just got to tell you, you know, I'm a man in my early 50s, and I've got at least as good a physique as this guy does. I mean, he's really out of shape. He's like a puffy guy.
You know, a lot of these guys with the, you know,
I'm
talk,
only
tough stuff.
Puffy. You know, the rest of me is pretty lean.
You push back on them just a little bit. They've never experienced any sort of pushback whatsoever. They melt like little children.
I wonder how he's doing in jail. Let me read a little
hey,
bit more.
Don't care. I mean, I care about the story, not about his welfare.
Oh, okay. The court filing provides new detail about Tarrio's role in setting up a series of encrypted group chats under the name Ministry of Self-Defense, or MOST, that were used to vet Proud Boys for inclusion in the operation at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. According to the government, Tarrio and other leaders, and here's a quote from the filing of the government, imposed a command and control structure on the new chapter, which included operational and marketing councils. They had marketing councils. We don't have a marketing council. Got to reach out and find out who did the Proud Boys marketing for them. With leaders empowered to handpick Proud Boys to become members of the MSOD. In the court filing on Monday, the government alleged that on January 3rd, 3 days before the attack, one of Tarrio's picks for the MOSD posted a message reading, "Time to stack those bodies in front of the Capitol Hill." Another member is alleged to have asked in the same discussion, "So are the normies and other attendees going to push through police lines and storm the Capitol buildings? A few million versus a few hundred Captifa. Captifa should be enough." That's how he described them. The same member, according to the government, raised a scenario that turned out to be prophetic. "What would they do if 1 million patriots stormed and took the Capitol building," he wrote. "Shoot into the crowd? I think not." According to the government, an unindicted co-conspirator labeled Person 3 and subsequently identified as John Charles Stewart, a member of the Operational Council, responded, "They would do nothing because they can do nothing." The recent court filing also provides a new detail about the meeting between Tarrio and Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes at the hotel parking garage on the eve of the Capitol attack. The meeting took place after Tarrio had been released in order to leave D.C. following the January 4th arrest on charges of burning a Black Lives Matter banner stolen from a black church. Rhodes is currently charged with seditious conspiracy. Tarrio told another individual in the parking garage meeting, sort of like Deep Throat, that according to the government, he had cleared all the messages on his phone before he was arrested, and no one else would be able to get to his phone because there were two steps to get into it. Two steps. Count them. One, two. Then we'll take a break and we'll come back. Maybe a few more details. Also, the Eau Claire insurrectionist, the homegrown one, no jail time. Pisses me off. Come back. More Devils.
I am taking them to imprison them in prison.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Coward!